Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Come on, you boys in green. Come on, you boys in green.
Welcome back to the front three, guys. Adam Boltwood here alongside Dave O'Brien.
Yes, come on, you boys in green.
Lawrence McKenna.
Welcome.
And all the way from the US of A is Chris Hennage.
Evening, chaps.
Where are you, Chris?
I'm in Williamsburg, which is, I believe, I could be wrong on this, North Brooklyn, I think is where it is. It's the I've got to whisper, but apparently it's the hipster part of New York, which makes sense given what I've seen so far.
It also makes sense that you're there.
It's perfect.
Yeah, because if anyone's on trend, never, it's me.
Yeah,
it's Chris. Guys, thank you so much for listening. It is the front three. We're going to talk about all the Euro action, of course. Iceland going through, all the good stuff. But for now, let's start with the Copa America, Chris. Colombia, Chile coming up, of course. But last night, USA 0, Argentina 4. Was it a complete drubbing?
It was, to be fair. I mean, they scored after 3 minutes. I don't think you can paint it as anything but that. It was tough to watch from an American perspective because for a lot of people, it was a big moment to try and stamp their authority as a national team. And, you know, I think someone put it quite brilliantly last night that Venezuela pushed Argentina more than the United States did, and that's quite a damning indictment for a team and a country in the United States that prides itself on moving forward and the belief that it is moving forward.
What? Something just started playing on the browser, and I thought it was Lawrence talking. So, were they completely outclassed then, Chris? I mean, you're talking about how Venezuela pushed them. Why? I mean, is this the tactical errors made by Jurgen Klinsmann, or just simply they're outclassed?
I think you could say tactical errors, but the overriding theme was they were far too easy to play through. So the Venezuelans kept things relatively tight. They had a good 15-20 minute period where they caused a lot of problems to Argentina. In fact, the coach even said that. Gerardo Martino said Venezuela had about a 15-20 minute period where they disrupted our style of play. And I think if Venezuela hadn't, or Cejas of Venezuela hadn't tried to Panenka the penalty and they had a bit better finishing, they really could have pushed Argentina. Now, you can't even come close to saying that for the US, because the US were just outclassed. They were, like I say, they were far too easy to play through. They didn't have any kind of coherent pressing style. It was high pressing by some players, not by others. And what was supposed to be a team that was benefiting from experience with the likes of Wondolowski and Kyle Beckerman coming in just looks so one-paced. The central midfield, I think they gave the ball back to Argentina more than they gave it to a team at the central midfield, Joe.
That was part of the feedback from the match.
You talk about, obviously being outclassed there, Chris, but the USA did get to the semis, though. Even though it was a tough night, I mean, are there positives to take?
I think, ask me that once they've played the third place playoff, because then, you know, if they finish third, they can say, okay, they've bettered their best ever finish at Copa America. At the minute, it's so difficult to gauge, and this is sometimes the problem with US soccer in general, is that when they play an international, it's usually a conversion point for everyone to take away huge evaluations when really there's not always a giant kind of takeaway from it. What you can say is they didn't really look convincing bar one game against Costa Rica. And that was a game in which Costa Rica threw themselves forward with reckless abandon. Against Ecuador, yes, they won, partly because Ecuador's finishing was incredibly poor, particularly Enner Valencia. So you can take those negatives from it. The positives you can take from it is defensively, they seem to have improved in some avenues, but not against the elite. So the four finalists, semi-finalists in this tournament, I think, are currently FIFA ranked at 1, 3, 5, 31, the US obviously being the lowest. So look at the rankings and say that there's no great shame to finish potentially fourth or even be in the top four when teams higher in that ranking haven't made it this far. I just think the issue with the United States in general is they're always looking to check the progress. How far have we come from 6 months, 12 months, 18 months ago? And I think for some people, the feeling is that they haven't nearly come far enough, if at all. And it's that notion of, again, if you're not winning and the football's not very good, you'll complain a lot more than if you are winning and the football's not very good.
A bad note to end the tournament.
Well, I mean, it's not a complete end. I mean, like Chris says, they could change things. I mean, to be fair, I think Argentina have dominated in a lot of games in this tournament. The US is currently, Chris, I think it does feel a little obsessed with the progression that Klinsmann's trying to implement here. Do you not feel a little bit like... US sees itself as this massive entity, right? And to some extent, it is a huge behemoth because of everything that it says and does. But there are some great memories in what Klinsmann's done as well, right? Come on, I believe that
there's none.
Come on.
There's none, to be honest, they hate that chance, some of them. They really hate that chance.
I've learned that hard. It's not like Klinsmann.
No, in fairness, you're right. I think, look, the World Cup gave them some nice memories. The so-called group of death, as it was, which you can debate whether it is yourself, that gave them some good memories. The Jones goal against Portugal, things like that. You're right in what you say. American fans are very much obsessed with progression now and where they're going. And I think that could be because look at football as a whole, how often we focus on what's the plan, what's your plan, what's your 2-year, 5-year, 10-year plan. Where are Bayern Munich going? Where are Man City going? Where are Southampton going? Everyone is so focused on the next step. Not many people are focusing on the current step. There's also a curiosity with the way Klinsmann handles the media here, because he says before he goes to the tournament, I'm aiming for a semi-final, so mission accomplished in that sense. He talks about, you know, just needing confidence to play with them. Then he talks about the fact that they were completely outclassed and they're just not there yet. He's reading from two very different textbooks at the minute, and that's the issue, I think, that no one has kind of articulated yet, is that there's no synergy or there's no consistency of rhetoric with Jurgen Klinsmann, and it makes it very difficult for people to understand him and what he's trying to do. At this stage, I think he might just be a bad fit for this national team rather than an atrociously bad manager, as some people would like to paint it.
Yeah, that is part of the issue. I mean, there was this incredible stat about Argentina in this tournament, that they recorded the highest ever possession in the World Cup, Euros and Copa America that Opta have ever recorded, with 86% versus Bolivia.
Wow. It's pretty staggering.
Well, they're a dominant side. They're a dominant team, is what I'm saying. And I understand that you could have counted that in a different way, but I still think the outcome would have been the same.
That comes obviously with the caveat that Venezuela created things.
Bolivia
had chances.
Yeah, I mean,
Bolivia, look, to be very blunt with you, Bolivia and the United States are oceans apart in terms of expectation.
Quite
Bolivia
literally.
Are an absolute mess at this point. I wrote something for Squawker about Bolivia and the fact that Marlos Moreno essentially kept turning down call-ups to this national team for this competition. And he's arguably their most pedigreed forward. Now, he's playing in China, had a really bad loan spell at Wigan. That typifies where Bolivia are for me. The United States, I don't think this current squad is as good as 0-2. I don't think it's as good as 0-6 in the World Cup. And that's the problem, is, again, not all on Jurgen Klinsmann. You're trying to chart in what avenues has the team moved forward? Has this experiment with Klinsmann, which will now continue to 2018, been better than Bob Bradley, Bruce Arena, and essentially domestic coaches?
Yeah. What of Argentina then, Chris? Obviously through to the final once again. Like Lawrence says, been pretty dominant in the tournament so far. Obviously got Lionel Messi on their side. Going into that final, they're either playing Colombia or Chile in New Jersey on Sunday, without Lavezzi, without Rojo, after the former's rather unfortunate injury in the game. I mean, you expect them to finally go all the way that time and finally win a major honour for the first time in, what, is it 26 years or is it longer? Or?
Well, in the recent history of Argentina, they've had two major losses at major finals. Mm. They've lost the World Cup and they lost the Copa America in Chile last year. So if you're looking for weaknesses, if you're looking for Achilles heels, I think the mental aspect could be there for part of them, because again, it's that momentum of defeat that could carry over for them.
Is that just is believing that if you've got Messi in the side, you might lose that final, isn't it? That Messi's generation is somehow cursed.
Of course, it's the same with James Rodriguez. It's the fine tipping seesaw between he's the fulcrum of Colombia's team and that gives him so much confidence, but then it also puts so much pressure on him in games like the quarterfinal where Peru sit deep and try to stifle anyone who comes into the final third. Argentina have never looked 100% convincing for me for most of this tournament. Last night was, again, the boxing match was over before it even started. You know, it's the Mike Tyson quote, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. I think if you're looking for a weakness, it has to be the defence, but it's the defence because it's offset by a world-class attack. So you live in that swing and roundabout in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, that is also part of it, is that, I mean, do Argentina know that essentially Maradona laid this on them when, I think, was it 30 years ago? He handballed it over England at that point.
30 years ago today, yeah.
Cursed a nation. For that amount of time, and it turns out that a player who surpassed his achievements will not be able to do it on the international stage.
Ooh, really?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because against the US, so Lavezzi scores the first and then celebrates in a way that was frighteningly reminiscent of Maradona's celebration. You know the one when he was done for drugs? And a lot of Argentine media and people on Instagram and Twitter and all this drew comparisons between the fact of Lavezzi's celebration looked incredibly like Maradona's celebration. It should be said as well, obviously Messi now is another record holder because he's overtaken Gabriel Batistuta for leading goal scorer for Argentina with his free kick last night. So again, you know, the guy collects another record. I wouldn't put it past him now to go on and collect a Copa America as well.
I mean, yeah, but people are always going to caveat, though, aren't they? That, though, aren't they, Chris? Is that they're going to say some other nations rushed into this Copa America. You know, it was very different for everyone else. You know, it's not been the classic that maybe some people in South America expected it to be. It's been a brand new, different tournament, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the curious thing. So you've had people come out and complain and say this is not a proper Copa America, it's a farce of a tournament. And yet, Dunga lost his job because of his performance in it. Mm. Paraguay's coach stepped down for similar. James Rodriguez shed tears on the field at MetLife Stadium when they advanced past Peru in the quarterfinals. So, again, I wrote this in one of my pieces for Yahoo, that for all the talk of this not being a proper Copa America, there's been a heck of a lot of consequences for people who haven't done well in it. And I think that has been somewhat forgotten and somewhat pushed to the side to fit a narrative. Absolutely. Of course it's not a traditional Copa America. I think it still has a place, though, and I think if anything, it's potentially highlighted the benefit of including the CONCACAF and nations in there because of what they bring. And of course, for every nation that sits there like Haiti and doesn't really produce anything of note, you have someone like Mexico or the US who can actually bring something and challenge. Now, it looks like they won't have made a massive impact because of the way the US went out in the semi-finals. Give them more time, give them more opportunity, and I think you breed something good. It's just whether the more traditionalists among CONMEBOL fans are willing to engage in that, because again, it's history at the end of the day, and you can't just change it or change what has become established that easily.
Yeah, very good point. Chris, we're going to let you go off and enjoy NY, specifically Williamsburg.
If he's still there, Chris, give us a score prediction for Colombia, Chile. And he's
2-0 Colombia.
Yes. Ooh, Chris. Okay, fair enough.
Actually, 2-1 Okay, 2-1 Chile. Sod that. Yeah. 2-1 Chile.
Yeah, and that's how predictions work. Chris will be back on tomorrow to tell everyone how it was 3-1 to USA.
And now if you boys just splice the one that's closest in there, and I'll send you a little checky poo.
It'll be 1-0.
Just say every number 1 to 10, Chris, quickly, and we'll make sure you look really good. Have a good
if
time.
If it finishes 11-9, I'll be gutted, because he's only got 1 to 10. Chris, thanks for coming.
Just to round things out, a draw 6-4.
Yeah. Enjoy Williamsburg, Chris. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hopefully, that's the plan.
See you later, man.
And with that,
see you later, guys.
See you again. Chris there, Chris Hennage, the main man. Interesting stuff. It's shaping up to be a nice final. I like that. I'm looking forward to a nice live stream, Lawrence. You're going to be doing TFR early in the morning.
Yes. I mean,
watch out.
I would have volunteered for that.
He did volunteer, guys, so yeah. Make sure if he's staying up until 1 in the morning, you can do it as well, guys. You can join in with all the fun. Enough of TFR, though. Let's move on to the Euros.
Yeah, you're guys. Right. Fuck you. Fuck the our main tournament. Employers and the guys we live for. Yeah.
The tournament is taking shape, guys. We have our last 16. In that last 16, guys, is Ireland. A massive win for them. It was a must win over Italy. Robbie Brady's header earning them the win. And I think it's fair to say they deserved it, Dave.
Deserved? A bit too far, a bit strong. I think that Italy defended very well again. I think Italy lacked a little bit in midfield, a little bit up front with the likes of Eder and Pella not starting. Insigne was brilliant when he came on. I think their midfield three as well, without Daniel De Rossi, without Parolo and without Giaccarini, really lacked a bit of sort of firepower and pressing. So I feel that Italy will be absolutely fine in knockout stage, but congratulations to Ireland. The moment before as well, what did you think of that moment when Wes Houlihan should have scored?
Houlihan.
That was a foul on Bonucci. That was 100% a foul on Bonucci. He tripped him up.
Yeah, but then Dave, the ball. But then what about Ogbonna's foul for the penalty?
Nah. Yeah, but then in the first half, wasn't there another foul? Oh, no, was that the foul? No, it was another guy fouled an Irish guy as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, well... They're making a counterpoint to your own point. But I mean,
exactly. I'm arguing against myself.
It's exactly also, isn't it, 4 years after Thierry Henry had the handball which got Ireland not to the competition. So, has anyone else seen the video of the, I mean, maybe we'll retweet it from our account, the Irish goal set to the music of Titanic?
This is happening a lot. What is this sort of meme that's flying around? I saw it a lot. Oh, every goal is better with the music from Titanic. It's just so epic.
It just is, because it's like my... I don't know what song Dave's doing.
It was... Now, Lawrence, correct me if I'm wrong.
Dave's doing Tainted Love.
Ireland,
wherever that game. You are.
In the second half, they're pushing for the goal. It was a valiant performance. I know they were lacking a cutting edge, really. But when they needed that decisive moment, when they needed to score, yes, where's Zahula? I missed an absolute sitter, but he whips in an absolutely fantastic ball. Robbie Brady puts it past Sirigu, who maybe could have done better. But, you know, they deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, the point with Italy is they rotated, I think, eight players out of the starting lineup, but you still had some quality players in there. I just think they weren't necessarily the same team unit that maybe you would have come up against. They'll definitely be almost fully changed for the next round, as long as, I think, Buffon overcomes his virus as well. Buffon's ill tonight. Mm. I see what you're saying. I also think it's really well played, and I think there's a reason that the Italy guys all went and congratulated Martin O'Neill. And
I did love to see Gigi Buffon. He gave Martin O'Neill a little handshake. He gave Roy Keane a little hug. Roy Keane crying. He had the tears in his eyes.
He was at least misty-eyed. I don't think Roy Keane can actually pass tears.
It was just water in his eyes. He'd just been cutting onions or something. I'm sure he'd say.
I'm fine. Yeah. I said I'm fucking fine. What? What happened?
just a bit humid. You know, a bit of dust got in my eyes, guys.
I mean, he made those really almost like controversial comments before the game, didn't he? That they do whatever to get into the next round. I mean, you know, obviously not whatever in that sense. But I think he was. I mean, it was something that I think the English press definitely picked up on a lot more than a lot of other people will have, because there's that moral outrage in England that it's sort of like, well, I mean, you know, you've got to, is that gamesmanship? Or are you sticking within the laws? But I think
they got a lot of criticism in the last game against Belgium for not essentially chopping people down when there were counterattacks, which is something that Italy did against Belgium.
I feel like Italy almost watched it and were a bit like, well done, you did an us on us.
Yeah, congratulations, guys. As you said, I mean, we were sort of saying it yesterday, those changes gave Ireland a chance. I thought Sirigu, he was making some bizarre decisions, flapping at some crosses, punching them out when there was maybe no one behind him. And in the end, he probably should have done better for that goal. But not to take anything away from Ireland, I think it was fully deserved. Fantastic to see them in the next round against France, where I would love to see them score the winner with a handball being the decisive moment. I think that'd be pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And what's the French for handball in wanker? That's what they'll be calling there. That's what they'll be calling Shane Long for the next, you know, 5 years or whatever. But Ireland are through, guys. Fantastic result for them. Also through Iceland. Well, I should say also through in the group of death, Belgium, I should say first. They won 1-0 against Sweden.
Whatever, no one cares.
With the winner, you know. But, and I know we did mention yesterday, but not the best way for Zlatan to go out. An unhappy ending for him, David, his international career.
Yeah, it was a sad way to go, but Zlatan did carry them to the tournament in the first place, so he did pull the level of the players up, but he hasn't looked himself in the tournament. Maybe he's got things to think about, like his imminent move to Manchester United, defeating the evil ball-stealing Pep Guardiola, so he's got a lot on his mind, so don't blame him too much there. But I think the Belgian performance again, it was all right. The game decided with a wonder goal, you'd say. Nangeland, fantastic strike, you know, stroking across the ball.
Was it a deflection?
Maybe a slight deflection, but it was a pretty clean hit, to be fair. So I think that was going in anyway.
Isn't that the same as saying Croatia's winning goal was a clean strike and went past him? It was a clean strike.
Yeah, beautiful strike. Perfect. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like an arrow. We had a little tweet coming in, Dave, for you, actually. Zlatan questioning why you think he's going to score 20 goals in a season when he's performing like that.
I think it's a different, you know, international tournaments are completely different. Mourinho's a different manager to the manager that's ahead of the Swiss boss, Swedish boss. I think that Manchester United have a higher calibre of player than Sweden do. I feel that this, you know, yes, Zlatan would be motivated to win this tournament, but realistically, did Sweden have a chance to ever win it? I don't think so. So Manchester United is a different kettle of fish, and I think they'll be geared towards playing around Zlatan.
Interesting stuff. Well, there you have it then. Belgium through from the group of death, along with Italy and amazing Republic of Ireland.
While we're on Iceland, can I also say there's a lovely quote post game from Carl Arneson, and he says, "I think I know 50% of the people at the games, or at least I recognise them."
Yes, 10% of the population, isn't it, Dave? 10%, I believe, is the.
If you continue with this 10%, Adam, me and you are going to fall out.
Yeah.
8%. You're right.
Dave's in the top 1%.
Iceland beat Austria 2-1 to top the group. Fantastic result. I mean, Austria, Dave. We were sort of bigging them up as dark. Before we come to praise, I know we sort of fall into the trap of criticising the team who lost and who were disappointed rather than praising the team who win. But Austria, we picked them up out as dark horses. We're talking about how, you know, they could go far in this tournament. Dumped out in the group stages.
Very floppy performance. A lot of underperforming players, you'd say. I think there was a thread on Reddit today that was from an Austrian fan saying this: whether they win or lose whether they had won or lose this evening, it would be the worst thing in the world, because, you know, people would start saying we've got to sack this manager, and this manager's done the best as an Austrian coach for years and years and years. You know, he has to stay there. There was some massive underperforming play. You know, Janka up front, and Altovic, he had a big chance today that he threw away.
He had a couple of big chances that he threw, actually. Yeah,
David Alaba didn't really, you know, wasn't playing at his level. So I think it was massive underperforming. And I think the occasion of the European Championships really got to a number of the players and they just didn't perform. You know, Dragovic missing the penalty today. You've got to take those chances. And that's the thing. Austria haven't done that. So they deserve to be dumped out.
Trautersen, the hero for Iceland, that late goal. Obviously, it was all looking very different all of a sudden now. Iceland going through to face England, Lawrence, in the last 16.
Yes.
A lot of England fans quite happy with that. They didn't want to face Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo, bearing in mind the form he's found tonight. But as has been tweeted in, we should be wary of Iceland. We shouldn't underestimate them, as everyone else has.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Roy's the kind of manager to underestimate anyone. And I think England have sort of got quite a lot of experience of playing people at this level. I do think part of it is that suddenly now England are at a tournament, people almost expect them to completely change the football and kind of play, you know, the final product, if you like. But I don't know, I feel like Hodgson actually has experience of playing teams at this level. So I'm kind of interested to see whether he will, whether it will be this sort of buccaneering stuff that everyone's sort of saying, well, you know, we needed to play a team who would be open to it. And it's almost like, well, I mean, be courteous. It's quite English, sort of like, come on, lads, be courteous. Play the way we want you to, and then we'll beat you. And it's a little bit like, come on now, come on, play the way we need you to, because that'll really help us out. We know it doesn't help you out, but it'll help us. And it feels a little bit weird. Have you seen the headline for Raheem Sterling today, which says England's fear for Raheem Sterling after mounting criticism in France? And apparently, where is it? He's got the hashtag...
His confidence has taken a hit.
He's got the hashtag, the hated one.
Yes, he put that on Instagram, didn't he?
And apparently, yeah, I mean, it's probably best not to embrace it.
Should we start a hashtag ourselves, pray for Sterling? Because he's going through a hard time right now. I think he needs support on social media. I might tweet it out now, pray for Sterling. Because, you know, his confidence is so brittle, apparently. He's taken a big hit, guys. And this is the England management, is it? The England management staff are expressing concerns, Lawrence. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow, I mean... I'm surprised there's a whole story on that, but they have it. That's in The Guardian as well. They're getting these stories, aren't they? They're getting these leaks from someone. Yesterday it was the FA criticising Hodgson, concerns over him, now mounting criticism and fears for Raheem Sterling. They've got a nice mole in there. I'm going to say it's Wayne Rooney, because we all know he was the mole for Manchester United. Let's not be around the bush. Iceland going through, Dave, as I said. I mean, the tweet here from @GloopTheDragon says, England have the better players, but Iceland have a better system. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a fair shout. Iceland have defended very well in this tournament, very compact, and they've broke at the right times. But again, like Lawrence mentioned, this seems like a, not no disrespect to Iceland, but it seems like a qualification game, do you know what I mean? Where England have to go out to Macedonia and they'll scrape a 1-0 win with Jack Wilshere scoring a 30-yard volley. Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like that type of game. England have been very, very lucky to get this Iceland draw. And I've just got a feeling they're going to beat Iceland. I think they will beat Iceland. I think they've got enough to beat Iceland and then to move on to get eliminated by France, unfortunately, Adam.
Yes, well, maybe Republic of Ireland, Dave. Let's not, you know, get ahead of ourselves, of course.
That's a very good point.
Very good point. Also going through Hungary, guys. A pretty momentous 3-0 draw with Portugal. Arguably the best, most exciting game, certainly, of the tournament so far. Cristiano Ronaldo, the star for Portugal, Lawrence, equalising twice.
Go to Dave about this one, surely.
Okay, come on, and I'll come over to you, Dave.
Actually, no, you can't. Finally,
oh, is he gone?
Sorry, yeah, no, you can't.
Oh, he's back. Dave, Cristiano Ronaldo, the hero, he's finally switched bodies with that kid from the old the Maghreb.
Well, Adam, if you put a mic in that fella's face and he doesn't want the mic, he's going to toss your mic in a lake.
What did that guy say? That's what I want to know, is what the guy said. And if he's a real reporter, because I get the feeling he might not be a real reporter.
The two stories that were floating about was one that he'd asked about Messi's free kick earlier in the evening, which I'm pretty sure is not true because...
You don't hear Messi in that sentence, that's anything.
Yeah, he'd either have to be an idiot as well to ask that or have... balls of steel, essentially. Apparently it's from a broadcaster that Cristiano doesn't like. He has a grudge against this station. That's why he did that. Seems a pretty extreme reaction, though.
Do you think he'll pay for the mic?
No, I'm going to say.
I think Ronaldo will pay for the mic. I think he'll feel bad for throwing a mic because...
I don't. Given his performance, I think he should do it before every game. Bloody hell, that should be...
that's the thing.
Throwing a microphone in any body of water near him.
They're just taking him near lakes and he's just chucking as many mics as he can.
Yeah, just need to be boom, jump into the ice bucket, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it was a great performance.
I think it's negative for Portugal because if you need that sort of environment, it maybe means that there are other issues there that you need to cope with.
Yeah, of course. It's not... actually a great result. Of course, the whole group was in flux and Portugal could have finished anywhere from first to last. They are through, Dave. It was a 3-all draw with Hungary, though. although they've been performing very well in this tournament, you sort of almost expect Portugal to beat.
You do, yeah, but the Portuguese defence has a number of issues at the moment. Those two centre-backs, like I mentioned before, are quite poor. Portugal did get caught out on set pieces again. You know, one of the first free kick that went in probably should have been saved. Ronaldo was played very well again. It was a moment that he had to step up, and he did. You know, I like that anger. I like the passion of him throwing the mic away. Someone was in his face. He was pissed off. He took the mic and he threw it away. Then later on in the game, he assisted the first goal, scored the second, and scored the third. He didn't quite get the hat trick that I predicted, but it's an angry Ronaldo. It's a Ronaldo that you want to see. Go back to that game. I think it was the World Cup qualifier where it was Zlatan versus Ronaldo, and Ronaldo went away, got Portugal through by scoring a hat-trick, took the game by the scruff of the neck. I feel if Portugal can push on. There was a number of performances there today that I liked. I like William Carvalho in defensive midfield.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kept the game ticking along. Mario was absolutely brilliant. What a performance from him. Was absolutely everywhere. Was overlapping out in wide areas, crossing the ball, getting assists, making tackles, taking people on. Very skillful player as well. I feel that there's a number of young players in this squad that can explode in this tournament and then push this team on. You know, Quaresma came on first touch, whips across in and assists a goal. I think this Portuguese team is so close to exploding and actually putting in a decent performance. But again, defensively, need to switch on a little bit. Carvalho is not the answer. Bring in Jose Font and they'll be all right. Pepe and Jose Font, that's quite a nice partnership. Jose Font's quite a relaxed defender. Pepe, as we all know, is a nutter, but Pepe did have a cracking performance today. Going forward with the ball, I thought he broke into midfield well, played very direct passes. So it's some of these things where I still do think this Portuguese team, after scraping through today, will do a lot better in the knockout stages. And I feel that the draw that they've got is all right with Croatia. Obviously, Croatia beat Spain yesterday, but
they are a side almost built for the knockout stages, aren't they? Because they, like Dave's saying, they like that crunch, they like that moment, that sort of pressure. And that's when they operate well. That's when the wink comes out. That's when the charisma seems to come through. They like their diamonds are made in high pressure. And then, you know, yeah, I mean, that's the bollocks that you read on Instagram. But, you know, it still is the fact that that Portugal have these situations and they very often come through them and then fall when everything's calm.
Let's talk a little bit about the round of 16, though. Very interesting draw. On one side, as you mentioned there, Croatia versus Portugal. We've got Switzerland versus Poland, Wales versus Northern Ireland, and Hungary versus Belgium. On the other side, the route of death, as it's called, Germany v Slovakia, Italy versus Spain, France versus the Republic of Ireland, and of course, England versus Iceland. Some tasty fixtures in there, Lawrence. I mean, which one takes your eye immediately? Which one are you most looking forward to?
I mean, good. I'm quite looking forward to Switzerland, you know.
Same.
Because I think that's going to be
the hipster's choice.
I mean, in a way. one sec. I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of basically what I'm trying. What I'm trying to say is, I put it this way. What I'm trying to say is, I think that Switzerland are a side who can either be great or will completely implode in this round.
Interesting.
I'm trying to work out what I think is going to happen with them.
Oh, should we make some early baseless predictions?
I mean, if you want it. I'm interested in Switzerland and Poland, because I think that I'm excited to see their front line against Poland's back line and Poland's front line against Switzerland's back line. So I'm excited to see maybe for the first time the likes of Lewandowski, Milik and Błaszczykowski teaming up as a trio and not necessarily two of them having to have space created for them.
I put my money on Poland to go through.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the game is going to be won down Poland's right, Switzerland's left.
Exactly.
Ricardo Rodriguez and Shaqiri versus Błaszczykowski and Piszczek. That is a big, big... And obviously Lewandowski needs to start scoring goals and playing well, because at the moment he's being rubbish.
Well, sure. Who's going through, though? Mystic Dave.
No, Poland, obviously. Come on, the Polski. Falls to the Polski.
Croatia and Portugal. You're saying Portugal could go through, Dave. This is a situation, this is a game that suits them.
I think Portugal there.
Oh, Lawrence, you're going to agree with that? The rough diamond of Portugal going to go through?
No. I think Croatia are going to go through. Yeah.
Metaphor. I thought you were...
Well, there's harder things than diamond, Adam. I think it'll be...
Name one thing.
it's Superman.
Yes, that's the kind of answer I like.
Wait a minute, what's harder than a diamond?
Don't say what I think you're going to say.
What do you think?
Food, Lawrence.
No. This is a diamond. I think that this hard diamond is going to come up against the Q carbon of Croatia, and I think it'll be. I think Croatia's midfield will win out on this one. As much as I think Ronaldo will be powerful and all those other things, I think that the back line of Croatia will see him off. Because he needs service. He can't do it all on his own.
Oh, so many metaphors. Wales, Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland obviously going for a fantastic achievement, but you do feel like their tournament is going to end at the hands of Wales, who have been very impressive so far. Top in that group, defying all expectations, really. You'd expect them to progress, Dave.
Yeah, 100%. I think Gareth Bale is a man in form. Joint top scorer at the European Championships. So yeah, and Aaron Ramsey looked very good in the last game, really commanding performance from him. Creative as anything, and I feel like they've got too much for Northern Ireland. I feel they've got too many bodies that they can throw in the box, which kind of what you need to do against Northern Ireland. They did hang on for a while against Germany, but eventually Mario Gomez did, win that game for them. I feel Northern Ireland have got as far as they're going to go.
Wales, Lawrence?
I think Wales they've got the more powerful sort of individual within there. I'm just going to be interested to see what happens when Wales come up against a team that completely sit back. And essentially also have the same sort of squad belief. Because Wales have sort of come up against England, not particularly good belief in the squad. Slovakia, a side who saw them... I don't quite know what the perception was, but it looked to be the same as Wales. And then obviously Russia, who are a completely broken side anyway by the time they played Wales. So it's going to be a home nations clash, which I think... That's also part of the problem here for Wales, essentially, is that Northern Ireland are going to see themselves as the underdog. And in the past, it's sort of Wales been proving people's perceptions wrong. Will that now shift?
What about Hungary, Belgium? Now, my heart says Hungary could go through here. They've defied all the odds. Belgium, though, my head says they're going to go through. But I think we've seen, essentially, that Mark Wilmots has his shortcomings for Belgium, despite their two victories. Do you think Hungary have got a chance, Dave?
Is it all over for them? I think it could be.
So disappointing.
Sorry, guys. I'm a real killjoy today.
I'm going to go against the grain and say that Hungary are going to pull off a miracle. And they're going to go through. I don't know how, but they're going to do it. What do you reckon, Lawrence? Are you in my...
I'm with you. I actually said to you, Izzy, on live on TFR... I think that's going to be the upset of that round.
Ooh, I love it.
Just because I think, again, it's sort of down to the individuals of Belgium to break down a side, and I think Hungary have matched people up in the over these rounds. I'm excited to see what Hungary do now.
So we're going to say, well, the majority of us are saying Poland v Croatia in the quarterfinals, then Wales and Hungary are going to be facing off. On the other side of the route of death, Germany versus Slovakia. We're going to go for the favourites there, assuming Germany. You're going to make it to the quarterfinals, lines?
Yes. Just because I think the system wins out in this one. I mean,
and
sorry.
Because one man saves Mario Gomez. You said he's going to light up this tournament.
Wait, yeah, he's going to score a hat-trick. 5 goals, 10 goals.
Four. 10 goals. 10-0 yes. To Germany. Very specific prediction. Potentially the biggest match of the round of 16. Italy versus Spain. Next.
It is, though, isn't it? I mean, that's a huge game.
It's the big gun. What I think is interesting is that first game, everyone got very excited about Italy. Everyone was, you know, very impressed. And obviously, they did execute their game plan perfectly. Mm-hmm. Against Sweden, we maybe saw they're a little bit blunt in attack. They're relying on that strike from there. Tonight, when they rotated the squad, we saw their issues there. But are you backing Conte and his tactical wizardry, Dave, or Spain, who potentially played some of the best football in the tournament?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I was all in Spain in the first 20 minutes when they played Croatia because they were dominant. Yeah. They were playing very, very well. The movement was good. The ball retention was positive. Iniesta was playing well. Fabregas was brilliant. Silva looked at his creative best. That through ball for to assist Fabregas for the goal was just a brilliant pass. Probably the pass of the tournament, you'd say. But then they crumbled, and they really crumbled. And this Italian side is so well drilled. They're so good at pressing. It's unbelievable. You know, if the ball goes out to the right, the left wing back picks them up. It goes out to the right wing back picks it up. It's just so in check with itself. With Giaccarini and Pirlo in there, I think it gives them even more in the press. And then you've got De Rossi. I just feel that Italy have too much here. And then BBC, I think there's just too much for Italy. And Spain, you know, he kind of got it completely wrong. He brought off Nolito, I mentioned yesterday, and brought Bruno on. If he makes tactical blunders like that again against Italy, against Conte, Conte will have his pants around his ankles in second. And that's it. Game, set, match. Insignia with the winner.
Ooh, wow. Interesting. I'm going to go Spain in this one. I think they had a wake-up call against Croatia. I think Italy are going to sit back and break on them, but I still think it'll probably be... Ooh, Spain don't have the element of surprise in this one, but I'll still go 2-1 Spain.
Mm. I'm going to say Spain as well. Hard
with
to
another
pass,
late
as good
one.
As Italy,
so yeah. Bloody late in everything that's going on, isn't it?
Ooh, a late goal.
I'm also loving how many goalkeepers are choosing to take people on in this tournament. I think it's fantastic. And I think both Buffon and De Gea will have a take-on off. And they'll both just be bloody ridiculous. But it will never beat Gabriel Caray's Thierry Henry kick.
Ooh,
have you guys
that
seen
was
that?
Nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
Yes. When he was just moments away from his team going through, and he just thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bloody do it. It was a little bit slower than Thierry Henry's peak, but it was still masterful.
When I watched it back, I was like, oh, this will be great in real time. And then I was like, oh, no, wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah. What about France, Ireland then? Ireland obviously through, a fantastic result for them. Only the 1-0 against Italy, though, who, as we said, made all those changes coming up against the France side, who, as we said many a time, got potentially the best squad in the tournament. As much as my heart says Ireland are going to go through, I think France have got this one, surely, Dave.
I think so, yeah. France are, this tournament, have just been winning games from wonder goals. You need to give me 2 seconds here because I'm just finding something.
Come on, then.
Fuck it. It's really good. It's really good. When you hear this, you'll be like,
Lance,
fuck yes.
Why don't you choose your thoughts on France Ireland while we wait for Dave to Google something?
Yeah. Go ahead. As long as it's not the Mario Gomez button, I'll be happy.
Is there a new button out there?
Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy.
Cha-cha.
This is thrilling podcasting. That's what I think the listeners are going to appreciate, this silence that we're desperately trying to fill while my Dave clatters his keyboard.
Well, can I say one thing? That one thing we didn't get to ask Chris was, there was an interesting article today written as we were looking in review of the US. Someone was saying why England should chase Klinsmann to take over from Roy Hodgson. Some fascinating arguments going in there, Adam, about building systems, about his experience from previous times, about obviously Germany, he was there for the very beginning of everything that happened there. But can we sort of say that maybe Klinsmann's experience has shown that he can't ape it elsewhere? Or do we sort of go down the route of, I get the feeling that Klinsmann would always have a bit of an uphill battle in England.
yeah, it's an interesting idea, but I think that would be such an unpopular
a German coming point. In to tell English people how to do it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, definitely bring that up with Chris tomorrow. I'd be fascinated to hear his thoughts, because it doesn't sound like he's sold on. I know obviously it's a difficult job in the USA, and we're talking about the time span of it, and they're always looking for progress, but I just don't. It sounds like even Kristen's got his doubts over Jürgen Klinsmann in that job. So why would he be able to do a better job in England, which arguably has an even bigger microscope on it?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, a different kind of microscope, but very... And also yes. one that sort of doesn't really like the outsiders.
No. It bloody doesn't, mate. Not after Sven. Better Gary Neville, eh?
Has Dave just completely...
Dave's gone, mate. Let's forget him. France Island. We're saying France.
Nay. I was waiting for a break. I wasn't going to dive in there and talk about Jürgen Klinsmann. Okay. But
Dave, talk to us about France.
This is the France stat, right? So France have been going through the tournament, sneaking wins with wonder strikes.
Yeah.
This cannot continue. If you look at the stats in minutes spent winning... There is five teams that have spent 0 minutes winning. That is Russia, Czech Republic, Sweden, Austria, and the Ukraine. The next team, in terms of the least minutes spent winning, is France. They've only been winning games for 17 minutes because they've been sneaking things at the death.
So?
I think the...
Dave, that's why you're here, mate. These sort of stats, these sort of facts, that's why we keep you around, to be honest.
I think the issue here would be with France's play. It's not your consistent destruction of sides like your Spain's, like your Germany's. Mm. They're like in between that and your Italy's. The Italy obviously are playing completely on the counter attack in this tournament. So I just feel that if France come up against someone that might be a bit sticky for them, someone that they'll struggle to break down, that will, like, for example, if all wonderful things happen, like Germany beat Slovakia, Italy beat Spain, then Italy beat Germany. France Italy would be an absolute blinder of a game.
Ooh,
it might not happen.
In the semis. That would be in the semis.
That would be in the semis. Yeah,
interesting. So, but you are saying France is going to go through in this one?
Oh yeah. Sorry, I just wasted all your time.
It'd be difficult for Ireland to pose that sort of problem for them, I'd say.
Dave, did you just tweet Raheem Sterling saying, "Come on, buddy, it's going to be okay"?
Dave, did you use pray for Sterling or not?
I did use, but I spelled it wrong the first time I did it. I did pray with an E, not with an A.
But I mean, that's the point though, Dave, is that if you have someone praying for you, you know that things are bad. That's hardly going to build confidence.
Well, we've got to pray for Sterling. Awesome press. Finally, England Iceland, guys. Now I can already see it now. Iceland dumping out England. It's just perfect. Although, here's my very specific prediction, because I got the Wales England one right. So that's giving me some confidence, some false confidence. England are going to win 2-1, and the newspaper headlines, every single one of them, especially the Sun, is going to say England take up 2-for-1 offer from Iceland.
Oh God!
But that's what's going to happen. Because I can see it already.
I can just... Have you seen the sheer amount of people that Iceland is sponsoring in this tournament? I mean, Iceland, the actual supermarket, have taken on Ian Smith. They've taken on a number of people and given them free vouchers. Why have Iceland, the supermarket, not given us free food?
I smell a freezer full of free food right now. That is because I left the door open. But Iceland, guys, could be giving us some free swag. Iceland, if you're listening right now, we love... both the country Iceland. And your store. Yeah. We would be more than happy to eat frozen food on the podcast. You could listen to us eat it. Is there any other more effective?
Well, I was thinking we do a road trip and we start at like Iceland in London and we have to get to France and find a feet freezer as fast as we can.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Tapio 2. The nearest freezer. Merci. The nearest freezer. Oh, no.
Yes.
Can we save the joint of lamb?
Not the prawn cocktail.
Yeah, exactly. And then we've got Kerry Katona and who else do we
Peter
have?
Andre.
Peter Andre and Jordan in the back of the car with Dave. That's, and it's just Dave being like, do you know how many take-ons is? And Kerry Katona's like, I don't even know what you know. Sort of down that
This route. Is too good, guys. Just save it up. But let's draft up an email, iceland@iceland.com. .co.uk. Speaking just of email which, it straight on.
Have you seen the England fans showing their raw meat around around the other countries? Because there are surprisingly, I ran into someone's name. They said, just look up the sheer amount of England fans who've been getting naked abroad. It's shocking.
Wow.
If you Google England fans naked France 2016,
I don't think I want to.
I mean, I put it on incognito, okay. And then I Googled it, and there is a high number of these people going, you know, out cognito, if you will, in Paris and
please forgive
around.
Me, guys. That's all I'll say. I had a few drinks. I had a few drinks on Monday.
Yeah, I was looking for Rory Jennings, but there was nothing on there.
Yeah. I reckon England are going to win 2-1 in this one. Very specific. I know. What are you saying, Dave?
Yeah, 2-1 England.
Dave? I mean, Lawrence?
Dave again, because that's wrong.
I'm going to go 2-2 England, Adam. Win on penalties.
Better.
2-2 England in extra time.
Wow. I love it.
Gary Cahill with one of the goals.
I know, you know. The Euros started well. I feel they started well. We saw a few surprises. I feel it slowed down a little bit in the last week, and there's been a little bit of a somewhat of lack of interest. But I think it's shaping up very nicely now. That round of 16, I know we've got all the good teams, all the big teams, I should say, on the other side of the draw. But I think that makes it more interesting. One of Switzerland, Poland, Croatia, Portugal, Wales, Northern Ireland, Hungary, Belgium are going to be in the final. I think that's fascinating. I mean, on the other side, they've won all these trophies. No one has ever won the Euros, I believe, on the other side of the draw. Who are your early picks to get to the final? So we're looking at
Croatia.
As I said, all those teams there. You think Croatia over, say, Belgium are going to get there?
Yes.
Croatia's going to be in the final. And on the other side, you know, Germany, Spain, France, England.
I think it'll be a Spain-Croatia final. Oh, that would be good. Yeah, Spain-Croatia final.
Spain-Croatia final. Dave, yeah. Are you a similar early prediction?
I'm going to go Portugal.
Are you meant
Germany?
That's crazy. Portugal. Germany. Bold prediction. Mystic Dave speaks. Yeah, I'm going to say England. No, I'm going to say it's hard because Dave sort of, he's brought up the stats here about France. My pick is France, I think, despite what Dave said and despite the fact they're not, you know, dominating games and playing that well necessarily. France versus, I'm going to go with the obvious pick again, Belgium. Even though I said Hungary are going to get through, which I hope so. But, you know, in my head, Belgium-France, that'll be a big final. Croatia-Spain would be a good one as well. Guys, let us know on Twitter, at the front three, who you think is going to be in the Euro finals. Thank you once again for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow. Chris is going to come back and talk to us about Colombia-Chile, give us a bit of reaction and maybe a little bit of a preview of the Copa America final. Before we go, I do want to read out a couple of reviews and one tweet. Now, the one tweet I want to read out, Lawrence, is from Everything LOFC, and your answer is going to give me time to bring up this week's reviews.
Great.
That question is, can Lawrence describe the narrative of an institution like the NBA? Eyes emoji.
There's a long narrative. You know what? There's a really good podcast. I'm trying to remember where it is. I think it's an ESPN podcast about the evolution of the rules in basketball in college, and in the NBA, and when you could dunk and those sort of things. Really fascinating. Go and Google, I think it's like that, NBA rules, ESPN. The narrative is, I mean, they give themselves so many options each year, and it seems like it's another option this year. The option this year was for redemption, if you like, for LeBron James, and LeBron James sort of came through and delivered on a massive scale to guys who have been waiting over 50 years for a championship in Cleveland, one of the most deprived areas, allegedly, within the States. You know, it was sort of switching places with Detroit for sort of the poorest people in the country and sort of the most amount of poverty. So the way they've painted it is that it's massively helped the community, whereas in the end, for some reason, things shifted on Steph Curry. And he went from being the darling, the first unanimous MVP, to the guy who didn't react particularly well when LeBron and his guys got in his face. There's other narratives there. I mean, you know, the coach of the Golden State Warriors was Steve Kerr, was particularly graceful in the way that he lost. You know, it felt very inevitable. And then LeBron was kind of quite bombastic with their jet stopping off. Obviously, as champions. Ooh. In Las Vegas, whilst flying back from the Golden State, and a few of him and his teammates sort of getting off. But it, again, things will shift because there's some massive trades going on this summer.
So do you get rings when you win?
You do, and that's why that's why you see all the Michael Jordan meme things where he's sort of like, you know, 72 and 10 has a better ring to it than 73 and 9 or whatever it is. But
I just see the crying face. That's the only one I see.
I mean, you're not looking deep enough. there's also, I mean, what I do also like, and I was kind of thinking, there's definitely a podcast in this. There's definitely a show in this, which we will do. So no one fucking steal it. I'm looking at you.
Don't say it then if you think people are going to steal it.
It would the trade system within the NBA, if we sort of locked off this area, benefit and would a cap essentially benefit these teams?
Interesting.
The problem would be there will be certain countries that wouldn't agree to do it because not everyone's equal. The good thing for the States is they all sort of start off, it's at least sort of faux communism.
I always found that really bizarre that that always seemed like a bit of a contradiction in US sports. That, you know, the most rampantly capitalist society in the world would have that as the basis of
tries to make everything fair.
Weird. I find that you'd think it would be like the more like the Premier League gone mad or something, supercharged.
I mean, I guess to some extent it is, and it's sort of creeping in. Their markets are, and their marketing is, and those sort of things. But maybe that's what they realise, that they can control certain things. Anyway, it's really fascinating. NBA is great. There's a really good NBA podcast out there with Andy Brassel and Max Whittle that they do on TalkSport 2, which I was a guest on during the season and was completely wrong about everything. It's called Shot Clock Pod. and it is a great podcast for the NBA. Very knowledgeable and from an English perspective. And sort of, you know, if you're not watching every game all the time, it's great to listen to.
Very good. Plenty of time to get my reviews up there. But interesting stuff. How many Super Bowl rings does Super Bowl? How many rings does LeBron have now?
He will have three. Yeah.
Is that really good?
Hey Siri, how many Super Bowl rings? Wait, damn it!
See, now you fall into my trap.
How many rings does LeBron James have? Do you think Siri will know?
Is he going to talk about like general jewelry?
How many rings does LeBron James have? Sex Siri.
Oh.
Oh.
Search the web for it.
Does LeBron James have sex? I don't know, Siri. Interesting.
I'm waiting for Siri's answer. Guys, the reviews this week. Two nice ones I wanted to just pick out. One from Billington, 321 from the UK. So addictive, never a dull minute. I would recommend to any football fan. Thank you very much for the 5 stars. And lastly, from Mark Anthony Bustos, always tweeting, as always, sending the good questions. A friend of the show, I think it's fair to say. One of the best football podcasts. The Front Three is a very good podcast. Great chemistry between the three. Have never missed a podcast. But can you pronounce Alcantara right? Because I have an aunt that has the same last name as Thiago and Rafinha Alcantara. Guys are not saying it right. This is how you pronounce Alcantara. It's spelled Al-can-ta-ra. He's put in brackets. And then put Al-big-al, can-like-can-ta-ra. So I'm not sure if it's ta-ra or ta-ra now.
So you're saying it's Alcantara.
He spelled it Alcantara, but then when he sort of enunciated the words he's typed, he's put Tara. So I'm not actually sure which one it is now. He's actually
maybe
confused.
Alcantara.
Alcantara. Yeah. Rora? Whatever. Anyway, thank you so much.
Whatever.
All the way from the USA, 5 stars. Tweet us. Please clarify. Alcantara or Alcantara?
Tweet us. Please clarify.
It's the latter. I've got a feeling it's the latter. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow, as I said, with Chris. For now, though, Lawrence, anything to say for yourself?
Go see our website, thefront3.com. Yes.
Dave, what are you saying?
I just found a really funny comment on one of my videos on YouTube.
Share the love.
Always says, promoting his own shit, but go on.
Dave.
They're watching your own videos while we record.
Yeah.
Dave, he's talking Central United. Slaying women in the city centre. Heard you were a legend on the pool, Dave. My man, and then a clappy emoji.
Yeah, I did leave that comment. Are you excited about it, Dave?
He's not wrong.
Oh, Jesus. Thanks, but thanks for the comments. Thanks for listening, and love you all, guys, all you people in the hole.
Oh, that's lovely. He loves everyone in his hole. Guys, yes. I'll echo Dave's sentiments apart from my last bit. Thank you so much for listening. Appreciate it. Thank you for all your comments. Keep listening throughout the Euros. I'm off on a stag do into Budapest, so I'll be back on Sunday.
You're being hungry. Adam, you're being hungry. Will you be in Hungary for the game or not?
When are Hungary playing?
Hungary will play...
I believe...
Ooh, no, June 26th.
No, I will be back. But I'll be back.
No, you won't.
To talk it's about it all.
Thursday the 23rd, you'll be back on Sunday.
Yeah.
They're playing Belgium at 8 p.m. I'll be back to talk about it all. And obviously Ireland going through to the next stage when they beat France on Sunday as well. Until then, though, guys, obviously Lawrence, Dave, Chris will be back to keep you updated on the Euros and give you all the good stuff. So
maybe
until
we won't. Think about what would happen if we just left you and you never got another Front 3 podcast. How sad would you be then?
If what? If you left me in...
Well, if we just left,
Hungary.
if not, mate,
where are you going?
A bit needy. No, if we just didn't do the podcast ever again, what would happen?
I'm just worried about the vote leave, mate. If you vote leave, I'm in Hungary, then I can't.
You're out, mate. That's out.
Is that how it works now?
Really good.
Pretty sure.
Can we?
So
yeah,
vote remain, guys. Vote remain.
If any of the listeners vote leave, then you cannot download the podcast.
Ooh.
No, Bolwood will never come back. Lawrence, yeah. We need to scaremonger people. Boltwood will be stuck in Hungary forever.
And we'll replace him with Boris Johnson.
Oh, piss.
If that doesn't sound like a nightmare, I don't know what does. Guys, until next time, have a bloody good day.
Bye. Au revoir.
Bye.
Budapest. Adam's a Budapest.
In Hungarian. Goodbye in Hungarian. Google your legend. Vizont. Salala.
Very good.
Vizon Sala.
Vizon Sala.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Fluent, mate. I'm basically fluent now. That was a delight to record.